sign of the Flying Red Horse. It's the famous sign of the 45,000 mobile gas and mobile oil dealers throughout the United States and Canada. Tonight, the Flying Red Horse again brings you Information, Please. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. You know, any of you who want to stump our experts, just send your questions to Information, Please, Radio City, New York 20, New York. If we use your question, mobile gas and mobile oil will send you $10 stamps and a copy of the Britannica World Atlas. If we muff your question, you get a $100 war bond and a set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. And if the experts miss all three parts, you get a $500 war bond instead of the regular $100 bond. Information, Please, is presented under the supervision of Dan Golenpohl. And now, our master of ceremonies, Clifton Fadiman.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Franklin P. Adams and his co-veteran John Kieran are joined by two guests. John Gunther, the famous correspondent whose new novel, The Troubled Midnight, is arousing great interest, and the director and producer, Gregory Ratoff, whose most recent picture is Where Do We Go From Here? Now, Mr. Ratoff is sitting in a Hollywood studio and will ring a bell any time he wants to say something or even just talk. Mr. Ratoff, do you want to try us out with a bell? That's beautiful. Now, if you do as well as that for the rest of the evening, we'll be... Jake, can we swing along as usual, spontaneous and unrehearsed, with a question from Norman Kupperberg of New York City. Mr. Kupperberg, ask this one. What would you get if you ordered these drinks? Have to get two out of three, and the first drink is kvass. Mr. Ratta.
What would you get? A stomachache.
That's helpful. What would the drink be, Mr. Ratta?
The drink will be, it's a national Russian drink. The poor people drink it. I was among them. I drank it for the first 20 years of my life.
Does he know it's in it?
Was that in your pre-vodka period, Gregory?
Vodka.
Never mind.
You
vodka.
Don't get drunk on kvass.
Oh, you don't get drunk on kvass.
No, you just satisfy your thirst.
But John Gunther over here wants to know just what kvass is.
Well, kvass is a homemade brew. It's like a beer without intoxication, made from a thing called in Russian izum. I wouldn't know what it means in English.
You're an authority on meat and drink. Do you know any more about kvass than Mr. Ratoff does?
It's a kind of fermented soft drink with milk or curds as a base, I believe.
No.
You're around.
He drank more in his youth than I did.
Well, Gregory, I have kvass here as something made by pouring... That's what it says here, by pouring warm water on rye or barley and letting it ferment.
Well, whoever sends you that question, write him a nice letter.
Well, I think we have a general idea of what kvass is, and I think we may safely allow it to remain the Russian national drink. Now, how about kumis? What would kumis be? I have Mr. Adams here on kumis. Mr. Adams?
It's a sort of fermented milk.
That's quite right. What kind of animal does the milk come from, Mr. Adams?
Probably a goat.
No. Mr. Ratoff over there.
It's a horse milk. It comes from a horse.
Make it a mare, and I think you'd be a little safer. Yes.
Was I close enough on that?
Yes. Matter, right. You're going on all four cylinders now, Mr. Ratoff. It also is made of camel's milk. Mr. Adams?
I thought kumis came from a coo.
Oh, that's very possible. That hadn't occurred to me, Mr. Adams. By the way, Mr. Adams, do you know where they drink kumis and what part of the world?
I don't know. I thought it was a trade name.
Mr. Ratoff?
Kumis is drunk by Tartars. That's a national drink of Tartars. They bring up their babies on that milk.
Bring up their babies on camels or mares' milk. All right, yes. In Eastern Europe and Western Asia, they drink kumis. Now we have one more odd drink to get down our gullets, and this is kvetch. What is kvetch?
Kvetch.
Kvetch. Do you want me to divide that into syllables for you, Mr. Rano? Mr. Adams.
I don't know. I suppose it's something to kvetch your thirst.
Have you anything to add to that, Mr. Ratoff?
No, listen, there is a German word called kvetch.
Yes, we know what that means, all right.
Yeah.
Mr. Gunther.
I'm a little puzzled by the pronunciation. There's a variety of fruit brandy.
Keep going, Mr. Gunther.
Which is probably in the Kvetch family.
That's right, yes.
Made out of cherries.
Well, Kvetch happens to be made out of plums. But
yes,
it's the same thing.
Slivovitz in Serbian.
Slivovitz in, yes, in Poland,
or
Hungary.
Srika in Bucharest.
Yes.
The same drink.
It's the same.
Fermented sweet, made out of the stones, usually, of some.
That's exactly right, yes.
Otherwise, neglected fruit.
In this case, it's plums, and I think they drink a lot of it in Alsace, in that section of the world. Well, I think we got at least 2 out of 3 on that. Let's pass on to this one from James Delahanty of Brooklyn, New York, and get 2 out of 3. Name the characters of literature who assumed these masquerades. In the first case, a clerk masquerades as a government official. Right. How do you say that?
Khlestakov, I played it many times when I was a young fella.
Is this an all-Russian program?
No. It's just that Radov makes it sound that way. You played that in your kvass period, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yes, it's the hero of the Inspector General. Really a villain, isn't he, Mr. Radov? Not a hero.
Well, he's just a liar, you know. He's really not a villain. He borrows money from anybody who gives it to him.
Yeah. Well, that's Hollywood morality. We call him a villain on this side of the water, of the coast. An animal, in this case, masquerades as a human being. An animal masquerades as a human being. There might be several answers to that. Can you think of one, Mr. Gunther?
Well, Leda and the Swan.
Isn't it the other way around?
Right.
There it is. It's a god there masquerading as an animal. Is it not? Zeus who comes down,
yes,
to woo Leda as a swan? Mr. Rathoff.
Animal masquerades as a human being is the wolf who came to the Red Robin Hood.
That's that. Right, yes. Of course. Yes, are you just applauding yourself, Mr. Radoff, or you like to say something else?
I'm just so happy that I can answer anything. You have no idea.
Well, you're doing very well. Now, in this third case, a king masquerades as a knight.
As a knight.
Mr. Kieran?
Richard the Lionhearted in Ivanhoe.
Yes.
Appears as the Black Sluggard.
Yes, exactly right. I bet Mr. Radoff knew that, too. He's just too modest to say so.
Well, I'll be very truthful and I tell you I didn't know that. No.
That's very nice of you, Mr. Radoff. Now, that's the kind of modesty we like. We're not used to it, either. Here's one from Dr. W.G. Dustin of Wayne, Pennsylvania. Again, get 2 out of 3. Name a capital of one of the United Nations that was captured and occupied by the enemy for the following periods of time. These are different periods of time, a capital of one of the United Nations. One that was captured and occupied by the enemy for 5 years or more before it was liberated. So is that, Mr. Kieran, what were we going to say?
Warsaw, sorry.
Mr. Gunther?
I should think that Addis Ababa would run it very close.
Now, there you have me. I don't know when that was, what the date
said.
Well,
think of it in terms of a long series of wars.
It sounds reasonable. Now, how about one that was captured and occupied by the enemy for 4 years or more? Mr. Kieran?
Paris.
Paris is right.
Brussels.
Brussels, too? Well, there,
they were both captured and occupied in the same month.
About the same time. That's right, Mr. Gunther. Now, one...
Luxembourg.
And one that was captured by the enemy and held for 3 years or more. I think there'd be several answers on this. A capital of one of the United Nations.
For 3 years.
That's right.
Bucharest.
Bucharest, I don't know the dates on that.
Yes, because it was only occupied by the Germans at the beginning of their war against Russia in 1942, and it was liberated last autumn. It would be just under 3 years.
Well, this would be 3 years or more.
Oh.
And it would have to be one of the United Nations, too. That was on the other side, the capital of one of the United Nations. Mr.
Hague.
The Hague is never...
No, because that's...
No, I think it would be any of these three, either Manila... which was occupied early in January 1942 and liberated February 1945, or Athens, or Belgrade. But we did get 2 out of 3 on that, and that passes us on to this question from M.A. Sullivan of Quincy, Massachusetts, and get 2 out of 3. And this is a musical question. Gregory, you'll be delighted to know this is about ballet, which I believe was also a favorite occupation of yours when you were younger and slimmer.
It still now is.
Really?
Yeah. We've got a ballet here right now in Hollywood.
Where you are now?
Yeah, we have here at Philharmonia Auditorium, ballet by Mr. Yurok.
Boy, is he selling.
Yeah.
Try this one. You're going to hear 3 pieces of ballet music. With whom is the hero in love in each case? Now listen to the music. Let's have the first. Mm-hmm. Mr. Ratoff?
This is from the ballad by Leo Delis.
That's cool.
With the doll.
With the doll.
Yes. Yeah.
It's frequently happened since then. Now the second piece of music. You got a ballet maniac over there, Mr. Ratoff.
He's
this
playing
is
notes.
From the Swan Lake by Tchaikovsky, and the prince is in love with the swan.
Yeah, so far we haven't hit a normal person. Let's try the third. I have Mr. Gunther on.
That's Debussy, L'Après-midi d'un fond.
Yes, and with whom is the hero in love in these?
Still in abnormalities because it's a faun, I believe.
Well, it's a faun dancing with whom, Mr. Ratoff?
With nymph.
Yes, with a nymph. Well, that's a little
they
more.
They always go together.
Yes, fauns and nymphs do, Mr. Curran.
He isn't dancing with a nymph. He's dancing with a veil at the nymph.
But he's in love with the nymph.
Yes, I beg your pardon. Mr. Curran's quite right. He does the dancing more with a veil than with a nymph. But
first, post-war gasoline's going to be like. You ought to talk to fellows who jockey Mustangs through German skies, or the pilots who thunder over the Pacific in B-29s. Today, they're flying on the finest gasolines in the world. Like the super gasoline that delivers flying horsepower. Flying horsepower gets them upstairs faster, helps them carry more bombs than ever before. The makers of Mobil Gas have spent a lot of time and money, $90 million in 12 years in research work alone, to develop this super gasoline that delivers flying horsepower for our planes. After victory, your car will get flying horsepower on the road. It's coming in a great new Mobil Gas. You'll get a new motoring thrill, instant response, lightning getaway. This sensational new Mobil Gas will be ready for your car after war needs end at the sign of the flying red horse.
Now, gentlemen, let's continue with a question from Richard P. Lent of Arlington, Virginia. And this is not a very hard question. Let's get all on it, shall we? Who are the old men mentioned in poetry or song? The first old man knew a thing or two. Knew a thing or two. Mr. Adams.
I think it was Father.
Father knew a thing or two? It would have to be, you'd have to prove it by giving us a line from poetry or song.
An old man something, he knew a thing or two.
That's right. Now, who, old man who, Mr. Adams? You're quite right. I bet you could sing it.
No, I couldn't.
Yes, you and I could together, I'll bet. It's old man Noah. Don't you remember old man Noah? Old man Noah knew a thing or two. He made them all play ball. Don't you remember?
No.
Well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, one wrong. Now, what old man don't say nothing? Mr. Curran.
Old man River.
Yes, and old man River.
Just keeps rolling along.
Yes. Is that a folk song, Mr. Curran?
No, it's not a folk song.
Who wrote it? Mr. Adams? The Folks Gone By, of course, was written not very many years ago. What old man argued each case with his wife, Mr. Curran?
Well, the old Father William. He argued each case with his wife, and the muscular strength that it gave to his jaw has lasted the rest of his life.
Yes. You're quoting Mr. Curran from what?
Father William, that's from Alice in Wonderland.
From Alice in Wonderland. That's quite right. That gives us 3 out of 3. Try this one from Samuel S. Arlock of Far Rockaway, New York. Get all on this. Each of these cities was assigned a special role at the Crimean Conference. What is that role? San Francisco is the first city, Mr. Gunther.
Oh, it's the seat of the plenary meeting of the United Nations on April 25th, one day after the date of the termination of the extension of the Russo-Japanese non-aggression treaty.
That's quite right. Now, how about Moscow has been assigned a special role? I have Mr. Gunther again.
Why, it's the seat of the Reparations Commission, which will be set up following the cessation of hostilities.
On German indemnities. And also, it's to discuss the Polish question, is it not? And now I have one further city that was designated as have a future important role, and that is the city of London. What's going to happen there, according to the Crimea Conference? Mr. Gunther, care to take that one, too? Have to get all on this.
I think it's the first capital at which the foreign ministers will meet, as promised in the conference.
That's exactly right, Mr. Gunther. That's 3 out of 3 for Mr. Gunther. Very good going. By the way, I'm reminded that Mobil Gas and Mobil Oil owe $100 in bonds to Mr. Lent of Arlington, Virginia, because we only got 2 out of 3 on the old man. I had to give you old man Noah, Mr. Adams. We were supposed to get 3 out of 3 on that. That sends him $100 in war bonds and a Britannica. And sends us on to this question from Mrs. Catherine M. Lupien of Milford, Delaware. Get 2 out of 3. Identify these characters of literature or the movies who were accused of crimes of which they were not guilty.
Brothers Karamazov?
That's the novel, all right. And who is the character who is accused of a crime that he didn't commit?
Dmitri.
Dmitri, yes. Who really is the murderer? Do you
remember? The murderer is Smerdyakov.
Smerdyakov is right,
that,
yes.
That part I played, too.
I don't see how you found time to do anything else.
Did you really... I was an actor before. In my young days.
Yes, I know, in the pre-Vodka period of yours. In this case, this is a novel, 3 men are lynched for the murder of a rancher. I think this is also made into a movie. Mr. Adams?
The Oxbow Incident.
That's very good, Mr. Adams, the Oxbow Incident. Who's the author of it? Remember?
That I have forgotten.
It's a very good book, and so I'd like to mention the author's name, Walter Van Tilburg Clark. 3 men are accused of murdering a rancher, and after they've been killed, it turns out the rancher is alive after all, a miscarriage of justice. How about Mr. Rathoff?
I wonder if I can give a plug to ask you whether I can say that it was made by Fox. Bill Wellman directed the picture.
No, you can't say it.
It was produced by Lamar Trotty, who also produced Wilson.
Yeah,
that's right.
Now, do you mind if we come back to our own little program, modest as it is? In this case, a man is punished for a murder that was committed by a judge. A man is punished for a murder that was committed by a judge. This is not an easy one. It's a movie. Mr. Gunther?
Well, there's something very close to it in a Broadway play by Agatha Christie called 10 Little Indians.
Well, that I haven't seen and
very
can't
close.
Decide.
The judge at the end of the third act is very badly mixed up with 9 of the preceding murders, but I forgot what happened to him.
That's not entirely clear. The instance I was thinking of is the novel by Chekhov, or perhaps it's only a short story, called The Shooting Party. Mr. Rathoff?
They call it Summer Storm.
Yes, in the movie it's called Summer Storm. The judge has killed a woman who's been responsible for his unhappiness. Try this, but be Gooden of Woodbury, New Jersey, and again get 2 out of 3. Name the famous palace which housed these very different people. In the first case, it has housed Cortez and Dwight Morrow. Mr. Gunther?
Chicultepec in Mexico City.
Is that a place, a palace?
Seat of the Mexican government, which Cortez presumably once used and which Mr. Morrow often visited when he was ambassador to Mexico.
Well, is it a building? Is Chicultepec a building?
It's a building in Chicultepec Park, I believe, technically.
I see. I have the answer as Cuernavaca. Now, would I be wrong?
That's also entirely correct in that they both also live there.
I see, but your answer is equally good. I'll take your yes, Mr. Radoff.
Is that the Tsar's Palace in Yalta?
Livadia near Yalta in the Crimea. That's
also the scene of one of the greatest short stories in the world, which Mr. Rathoff, the Russian expert, doubtless knows.
What one is it?
Chekhov's Lady and the Dog, which is laid in Yalta.
Do you remember that?
Lady and the Dog. Oh, sensational, sensational. John Gunther.
Yes.
In Russian, it is the name of it is Dama Sabachki.
That's going to help Gunther an awful lot.
I'm working on Chinese now.
Try this one. Louis XIV and Mona Lisa have both been housed, Mr. Kieran.
The Louvre.
In the Louvre, yes. Mona Lisa, of course, not in her...
not in the flesh.
No, not in the flesh.
On a wooden panel.
Yes, that's quite right. All right, that gives us 3 out of 3 on that one. Now here's Ben Grauer with a minute of mobile news on how to make your car last longer.
On the frost-bound corduroy roads in Europe and in the tangled, steaming Pacific jungles, Army mechanized units just keep rolling along. How's it done? Well, every part of every machine gets regular servicing and the highest quality lubricants. The makers of Mobil Oil supply the Army with millions of barrels of fine oils and greases. With this same sort of protection, your car, too, can run better and last longer. Change to Mobil Oil, the world's largest selling motor oil. Today's Mobil Oil is refined for today's driving conditions. You don't use your car very often now, and the times you do, you drive it at fairly slow speeds. Oddly enough, this kind of driving can wear out your engine and waste your gasoline. But keep fresh Mobil Oil in the crankcase, and your car can last longer, run better, give you extra miles from your gasoline ration. So treat your car to the expert protection of Mobil Oil at the sign of the Flying Red Horse.
Now, Ruth R. Blodgett of Beach Bluff, Massachusetts, sends this one in and asks you to get all. Identify the members of the so-called weaker sex, whether in fact or fiction. The first one won a steeplechase race. Mr. Kieran.
That's the girl in the National Velvet.
Yes. A movie based on a novel by whom, Mr. Kieran?
Gosh, I've forgotten.
I always liked people to remember that very often the movies come from a novel.
I read the story, and it was a good story.
Very good story by Enid Bagnold, B-A-G-N-O-L-D. What's the name of the character, Mr. Kieran? Remember? Little girl?
All I know, it's a girl.
13 or 14. Mr. Adams? Mr. Rathoff?
Velvet.
I beg your pardon?
The name of the girl was Velvet.
Well, maybe. yes, Velvet. Velvet. Wellwood, indeed.
And what, well, was her name Wellwood or was it Wellwood? Was it?
I guess it was Wellwood. That man can convince me of anything. How about a lady, girl, who took over for an artilleryman? Mr. Kieran.
Molly Pitcher.
Molly Pitcher, yes, in the famous episode.
The battle down at in New Jersey.
Yes, not very far.
Monmouth,
that's right. Actually, that's a legend. It wasn't Molly Pitcher, whose real name was Mary McCauley, who did it, but it was Margaret Corbin who really did it. Are you thoroughly confused, Mr. Adams? Pretty hard to follow it. How about one who poisoned herself when her army was conquered? Her army was conquered, and in pique, she poisoned herself. Mr. Adams?
Sounds like Cleopatra.
No, but it was someone who sort of looked like her. Mr. Gunther?
Boadicea or Zenobia.
Boadicea is the right one.
Really?
Yes, very good, Mr. Gunther. Who was Boadicea?
I don't know.
A warrior.
Well, I remember. Vaguely.
A warrior queen.
I beg your pardon?
A warrior queen.
A warrior queen.
The lady who poisoned herself after she got beaten.
Oh, you learn quickly, Mr. Kieran.
I think she was in England, wasn't she, in the old days?
British queen. Yes, in Roman times. She was conquered by the Romans and led a revolt of her people, was beaten and poisoned herself. Let's see. That gives us only 2 out of 3. That means Mobil Gas and Mobil Oil send $100 to Ruth Blodgett and a set of the Britannica.
Was I wrong in Boadicea?
You're absolutely right.
Oh.
Did you? But you came in, I think, after Mr. Adams had said something else.
Oh, I beg pardon.
You get credit, Mr. Gunther.
I lost that dough.
But Miss Blodgett gets the money. I, for a moment, thought you were just making that name up, Mr. Gunther, just dragging up out of your unconscious. Try this one from Nellie Hirschberger of Germantown, Pennsylvania, and get all on this. What were the original names of these places? Chicago. Before Mr. Adams?
It's supposed to mean wild onion.
Well, that's what it's supposed to mean in Indian.
The original name of it?
Yes, before that, before it became Chicago.
Fort Dearborn.
Fort Dearborn is quite right, Mr. Adams, yes. Now, the town of Glastonbury in England had a name before that, according to some accounts, almost a legendary account, perhaps.
It's in the Holy Grail, the story
of the Holy Grail.
That's
quite
right, Mr. I can't remember what the name was.
Well, later on...
Camelot.
I beg pardon?
Camelot.
No, but has the same number of syllables, Mr. Adams. Avalon. Avalon. It's you may know it from the popular song. That's one wrong, and now we have to find out what the original name of the town of Gorky was.
Oh, I know that. Nizhny Novgorod.
How do you say that?
Well, I want Ratov's pronunciation.
He is right.
Is he right on that? Is he right on the pronunciation too, Mr. Ratov?
Nizhny Novgorod.
Have you ever been there?
Yes.
So
I was there.
He acted it.
He played it.
Kvass and kumisa.
Well, that gives us. Let's see. We only got 2 out of 3 on that. That means that Mobile Gas and Mobile Oil send $100 in war bonds to Miss Hirschberger and a set of the Britannica. And we'll try this one from Helen Stroop of Charlotte, North Carolina. Name a play in which an important character is a play reviewer. A play in which an important character, Mr. Kieran.
Fanny's First Play by Shaw.
Yes, that's right. Mr. Gunther, think of another.
Jason by Samson.
Jason. Mr.
Arsenic and Old Lady.
Yes, all of those are quite right. Now, a play in which an important character is a bareback rider. A bareback rider. Mr. Adams.
Polly of the Circus.
I don't know that. It's quite conceivable. Mr. Ratoff.
He Who Gets Loved.
Yes, that's quite right.
By Leonid Andreev.
Yes, and Mazeppa of many years ago is also such a one. How about a play in which an important character is a movie producer? Mr. Ratoff.
Once in a Lifetime, I played it.
You played that too?
Yes, I played that.
All right, that gives us 3 out of 3 on that, and that's all we'll have time for. Mobile Gas and Mobile Oil have paid out a total of $300 in war bonds and 3 sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, in a moment, I'll announce the guests for next week. Remember, send your questions and the correct answers to information, please, at radio...